Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is the one and only Brian Jones of CBS Sports. And, yes, he's been a Yankees fan for a little while. He's kind of nervous tonight, too. Brian, how are you?
Man, I ain't nervous. It's going to be so cold. Those cats from Houston ain't going to be able to handle it. The wind's going to be gusting like it used to do when I lived in West Texas. And it probably still do, even though I don't live in West Texas. So I ain't worried. Okay, yeah, I'm worried. I am fraught with pearl. Worried about this. Damn Astros, man. Killing my Yankees.
Hey, at least it's Zach Greinke. That's the one of those three guys that you might be able to count on to not be great in the playoffs.
Yeah, that is true. I'm hoping they can get to him, and I'm not even going to say what I was thinking because I know he's at one point was unhittable, but I'll just wait and see what happens tonight. But hopefully those bats will come alive. You knew it was going to be an arduous task going up against Verlander and Cole, and it's been exactly that. So we'll see what happens with this extra day off and if the weather plays a role because the damn warning track hits, man, are killing me.
Mm-hmm. I know the new playoff baseballs, if you will, Brian. Hey, Brian, if you run into Giancarlo Stanton at one of your little sushi runs there in New York City, make sure that you don't like even brush up against him in the bathroom because you know it may kill him. Talk about
dude.
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
Man, dude got muscles in his crack and he can't stay outside the DL. What is up with that? Maybe he needs to do some yoga and stretch a little more or something. All them damn muscles and they're going to waste sitting over there on the pine.
Yeah, he's the opposite of me. He's more like you. He's wired too tightly and I'm wired a little too loosely.
Well, he needs to join me, man, when he's hot yoga class because sure could use that bat. I guess they're saying he probably could DH tonight and he may get hurt doing that.
Yeah, get hurt That's rounding true. The bases on a homer.
Dude will get hurt in a downward dog there. Brian Jones, CBS Sports.
Downward dog.
Yoga position.
Oh, okay.
She keeps telling that lie that downward facing dog is a resting pose. Bull dookie. It is not a resting pose.
Well, it's obvious you guys do yoga because I heard downward dog and I'm like, where is this conversation going? I think I've done that before.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, you call it something else.
Yeah, exactly.
So Brian, speaking of things that maybe needed to get stretched out and loosened up, what in the world happened to the Longhorns in Dallas? Whether they could lose is one thing, but I didn't think they'd lose like that.
The worst seven-point deficit ever to lose by. I mean, they looked horrible that first half.
Right.
I mean, what is this? Especially offensively, and giving up all the sacks. OU's defense is better, but they ain't that damn better. Where you play as if you're Rice and they're Alabama. I was like, wow. You know, offensively, yeah, you knew it was going to be a tough track. That's why I don't understand why my nominee for Lamont Sanford, you big dummy, B.J. Foster, would be talking trash to Jalen Hurts. I mean, come on. He hasn't watched this guy over the last 4 years in college football, so that made no sense. And so I expected him to do his thing and it'd be back and forth, but I didn't expect Texas to come out and look as putrid as they did in the early stages of that ball game. That being said, man, you play as horrifically as you do, and you still only lose by seven? That tells you you may be doing all right. You may be heading in the right direction because that could have really gotten out of hand. And hopefully they will meet down the road and there's a different outcome, of course. But they cannot. They have to be sitting out there shaking their head. And I can't understand. I understand you got some attrition on the back end, but to not practice tackling going into arguably the most physical ball game you're going to have on an annual basis, considering A&M's no longer on that schedule. But that's going to be the most physical ball game on the schedule. A heated rivalry game, and you don't even practice tackling that week, and knowing you're going up against a guy who can outrun angles and a Jalen Hurts, that one's a little interesting. I understand the injury prospects, but hell, those cats are young. A lot of them haven't played in this ball game. They need to understand going into that one, it's going to be a head knocker. So why not bang a little bit the week prior?
BJ, you've forgotten more schemes defensively than I'll ever know. What are you seeing, man? I see linebackers flagging receivers and backs in coverages they shouldn't be in. I see the edge constantly given. What's going on with this scheme?
Well, you have to get back to fundamentals. That goes back to my previous statement. Part of fundamentals is being physical at the point of attack. Now, if you're not practicing that the week of the game, you would hope you, a veteran team, you could get away with that. But as many young pups as they have out there, that's something you got to pound into them on a weekly basis. Later in the season, maybe you can pull up somewhat and give them some breathing room in that particular area. But you have to hound them with fundamentals when you're a young player. And you I'm mindful you want to keep them fresh. But, hell, they're 18, 19, 20. They're already fresh. You know, you got to beat into them that this is our philosophy. This is how we go about it. And by the way, this game this week will prove to you why we go about banging on you all week long. So I can understand you wanting to give them a breather here and there, but not in the middle of the season and not a couple weeks off of a bye too. That's another thing. You give them a little breather during that bye, but not once we get in the back in the heat of things, especially the week of a big rivalry. But when you got young cats like that, man, they look like they didn't even know how to tackle. They look like they didn't know how to break down. They didn't appear to know how to wrap your arms and any of that stuff. So that's fundamentals. And I'm sure they've gotten back to that this week. I had some bad – or we collectively had some bad tackling games, and you knew that next practice, man, it's going to be all about tackling in individual drill and through inside drill and team drill, and you dreaded it, but you knew it was necessary. So I'm sure that they're getting a big old plate full of wrapping up and bringing your hips and not just flaring and flinging and trying to grab guys. You got to run through them.
Brian, you've obviously been part of trying to fix a problem like that at times. So tell me, I've heard people say you can't fix it week to week. It's a part of your culture. It's not. And I've heard people say
you can't fix it in season, right?
Yeah, you can't do it in season. But I've heard people say, well, wait a minute, you just got to get back to it and tackle. Is this something that you think in a couple weeks, if you focus back on tackling, can be fixed?
It can be fixed this week. It better be. It has to be fixed this week. And I understand that Kansas is not going to line up with the same type of talent that you faced last week, but for CeeDee Lamb to be running all through your defense as if he hadn't showered for a month, I mean, that's ridiculous. No one wanted to touch the guy. Really? You should want to rip his head off. You should be frothing at the mouth to get to him. Hold him up so the rest of the guys could get to him. Hell, the rest of the guys would get there, and they couldn't do anything. All of them were slipping on banana peels. I'd never seen anything like it. It was like the Keystone Cops. Like, really? Talk all that damn noise, and then you go out there and you play like that? That's why they don't say anything. I can never talk noise. That wasn't good enough to back it up. But these guys did it, and then they get out there and they don't put up. So to have guys there in the frame to tackle this guy, and yet he gives them all the okey-doke, that's embarrassing. So, yes, it can be fixed midstream. I've been part of it. You're right. We fixed it. And you just have to stay on them, especially when you got some young guys. But to see some upperclassmen out there looking like that and who faced this guy before, that was just ridiculous.
Why are you going to bring up 89, man? We talk about the 93 all the time. You know, you got to bring up 89,
hey,
Chad.
I didn't say anything.
No, we all know what you're saying. BJ, you know what he was saying.
No,
man.
I never said a year. I was in
you're
general.
You're the one 2 hours ago. BJ, you weren't listening,
and I
hope you weren't, but – he said you were obese in 89. That's, and that, you know what? I mean, it's hyperbole.
He's right.
No, you weren't. You weren't obese.
I was a disgusting fat body, man. Come on. Truth be told. Fat and greasy, baby.
Unbelievable.
Oh, God, we love you, man. You were doing such a great job. Bob Dunn even told me, he said, you know what? He said, I was watching the other day. He said, Brian Jones is the best analyst on college football TV.
Damn!
No doubt.
Bob's that Southside Chicago guy. He doesn't pull any punches.
Now Brian, he is old. He only goes to three different channels. But other than that,
still.
That's how I became a Yankees fan, because we only had three channels and they were always on.
Only a couple. Hey, so, of course, we're talking with Brian Jones of CBS Sports. This week, the 2:30 CBS game is LSU at Mississippi State. Brian, I ask for half of that game. With all due respect to the Bulldogs, we'll see how, you know, LSU performs this week. But, man, I was really impressed with them against Florida. I cannot wait for LSU and Bama. Those two offenses, the way they're clicking right now, are incredible. Do you think LSU has any letdown going to Starkville this week, or do they just keep it rolling?
No, I don't believe they have any letdown. All they have to do is point to Georgia and South Carolina. Now, I'm not that surprised that South Carolina got the victory or played as well as it did defensively, shutting down the running game of Georgia, because they actually played pretty well early on versus Alabama. Some things didn't go their way, and then, of course, no seams start to mount. You have a precipitous slide, and that's what happened versus Alabama. But they got some guys up front that can hunt on that D-line and in that front seven, two of the tallest corners, Horn kid, Joe Horn's son, and then you had the young man who went into that Georgia game with only two picks, Israel Mukwamu, and he left with five, you know, three on the day. Yeah. and a pick six. So I think everyone will point to that and say, hey, this is why you don't take anyone lightly. Of course, Georgia should have won the ball game, but LSU is clicking, man. It's one thing to run roughshod over our young Texas defense, but to do it against a seasoned top five defense in Florida, that's a whole nother can of worms. And they had 21 answers, and their defense stepped up as well, like I thought they would. Kyle Trask was still fabulous, except for the mistake in the red zone. So I think LSU will take care of business. But before you jump to Bama, they've got Auburn next week. We'll have that one. LSU and Auburn, so that's a mighty fine defense they're going to be facing there.
That's true. Yeah, good point. Real
no,
good
point.
No,
it is. BJ, are you buying Penn State and to win this by nine? I mean, Michigan has not been overwhelming, and they've been disappointing for a 5-1 team. Are you buying Penn State at 6-0?
Yeah, I like Penn State. I thought they would win last week, and of course that they got a hard fought victory there in. Kinnick Stadium there in Iowa City. It seemed like that one was always a tough one. And this one, the last three, the winners won, have scored at least 42, and Michigan's won two of those last three, of course. And so I don't know if they boat race Michigan. Michigan, which team shows up? The one that went up 28-0, then allowed 25 unanswered to Illinois, and then, you know, put it away with a couple more touchdowns. So we'll see which one shows up. I do know this, Shea Patterson is just a 50% passer, and, you know, it's hit or miss with him, and he's too inconsistent. So the passing game seems like it was going to always be shaky with him at quarterback. They did have two 100-yard rushes in last week's game, but we're still talking about Illinois. So Penn State, they've got those bookends, Gross Matos and Tony, and then this kid, Robert Windsor, really went off in the interior of their defensive line, six tackles, a 1.5 sack, a couple of tackles for loss. So I like the defense and the way they play, and I like the Sean Clifford at quarterback. So I think Penn State can win at home. Of course, you're going to have the whiteout, so that's always a cool environment. But, yeah, I'm buying what they're selling right now, man.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports, joining us. Brian, two ranked matchups in the Pac-12. Let's start with Arizona State at Utah. I've always liked Arizona State, been able to root for them, and I've always loved Herm Edwards. I didn't know if it was going to work, though, but it feels like there's just such an energy around them. Do you buy them enough, though, to go to Salt Lake City and get this win?
No, I like Utah. They're just such a physical bunch, and they've learned their lesson from letting that one get away at USC a few weeks back. But you have to love this budding star in Jaden Daniels at quarterback for A-State. This guy, yeah. Last week, 34 seconds left in the ball game. Of course, they're down, and Herm is giving him his spiel over there on the sideline during the timeout, and this true Frost turns to his head coach and says, "Coach, I got you." Then he goes out there and scampers 17 yards for the winning score. So that's the type of confidence you want at that position. That's the type of moxie you hope that guy has. And this is a confident kid. And he did the same thing. He had a huge run late in the Michigan State ball game as well that helped propel the Sun Devils to a victory. So I like the team. And they've been in 4 one-possession games this year. They're 3-1 in those games. So they're learning how to win in these tight, close moments. But I think, you know, Utah is going to be too much for them. You know, their quarterback, Huntley, 133 attempts, no picks going back to last season. The way Zach Moss jumped back on the scene after being out with that shoulder injury. Coach, I think I'm going to take it easy in this one. I just want to run the ball about five times, and I'll get you 121 in a couple of touchdowns. That's all he did. Five carries, man. I mean, so, and their defense. I mentioned that Devin Lloyd kid to you guys a couple of weeks back, and he had him a pick six in the ball game. So I like the Utes at home.
BJ, same conference, man. Another top 25 matchup, barely, but it is. I want to get two thoughts on you. Give me the thoughts on Oregon-Washington as a game, and then also what you think about those two quarterbacks at the next level.
Easton, you know, he's been somewhat inconsistent, but the whole offense, they awakened versus Arizona in that second half. It really put it on. It was 36 points, I believe, in the second half versus the Wildcats, and so they got going. Defense got in the act as well with a scoop and score. I think Easton, you know, everyone's going to be drooling over his height. He's a big cat, has a howitzer of an arm, but there's some inconsistency there. When you look at Herbert, the same thing. They, as far as the height and the metrics, they're going to love that, and I like what he brings to the table. He'd probably be my choice ahead of Easton. He's been proving it for so long, and when he's not in there, you see this team really struggle, as we witnessed a couple seasons ago when he went out about midway through when Willie Taggart was the head coach. So I take him over Easton at this point. But how about the Dutch defense, guys? They give up 27 in their first game versus Auburn.
Yep.
Combined in these next five or last five, they've allowed 25 points combined. They're right there with Wisconsin, allowing a few – touchdowns, four on the season. You may question the competition, but still, that's nothing to sneeze at, just like those four shutouts that the Badgers have amassed thus far. So I like this defense. Andy Avalos came over, the new D.C. from Boise State. He really has the guys hunting up front. So this is going to be a tough task. Washington can run the rock with Salvon Ahmed and others. And so we'll see how they fare. But Washington has been so inconsistent. That first half didn't look so great. And then the second half, you know, they left Arizona in the dust. And so this should be a fun ball game to watch. We'll see if the Oregon defense can hold up. But I like what they're doing offensively. You know, they lost their number one receiver, that tight end, Breland, and see if they can pick up the pieces from that. But I'm going to take Oregon in that one.
Interesting. Okay, taking the road team. Brian, one quick Big 12 pick before we let you go. Baylor at Oklahoma State. You like Gundy or Rule in that one?
First of all, we got to start with that damn call that may have saved Baylor's bacon. The flag on the center for the butt fumble that wasn't a butt fumble. interesting. There were bad calls all across the board. I mean, you could pick a conference, and then even in the NFL with that Detroit Lions Green Bay Packers game, the Cowboys could have used some bad calls. They suck right now. What's up with that, Dad?
They needed eight bad calls. I figured it out, Brian. I did the math. The Cowboys needed eight bad calls, I think, to win that game.
Listen, I like what Baylor's building. I was just talking about how resilient Arizona State is in these one-possession games. The same thing could be said for the Bears, the way they won versus Iowa State, relinquishing the lead and finding a way to get a win in overtime versus Tech last week. So this is a damn good football team going on the road. K-State losing your quarterback there late in the ball game. I think they lost one of their starting O-lines linemen on the first series at K-State. Still got gutted out of win. And these receivers, Mims and Thornton and Sneed, these guys can scoot. And, yes, you got to control Colin Wallace and also Chuba Hubbard. You know, it's going to be tough duty, but I'm going to stick with the Bears. And I know Oklahoma State's coming off a bye, and they haven't played so well. Especially their young quarterback, Sanders. You know, first three ball games, seven touchdowns, one pick. These last three, seven interceptions. Count them, seven interceptions and three touchdowns. So their last time out, Tech beat them. Baylor seeing a similar offense, different characters, of course. But unfortunately for them, they lost their leading tackler, that Clay Johnston kid who's been playing so well for the Baylor Bears. But I'm going to take Baylor on the road, man.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports. Again, the 2:30 kick is LSU at Mississippi State, trying not to fall back and slip as the cowbells go firing off in Stark Vegas. Brian, enjoy the weekend, and don't get used to it, but I am a Rangers fan, so go Yankees tonight.
There you go, baby. We need all that we can get, probably.
There it is.
Hey, BJ, you found another izakaya after the one that you and I loved. We used to go to shut down.
No, You know what? I've been hitting up Tao quite a bit. But other than that, no. That one was so good, man, and the price was so right. Oh, that was
it,
some good
I know it buddy. Was. I've got one for you, buddy, and I think you're going to like it. It's in,
text it to me, yes. Send it on. You know yeah. me. I got to wait for it. I can't wait to eat.
I'll text it. I'll text it to you. We'll have you turn into the 89 version of Brian Jones.
Oh, that is just that's unnecessary.
No. I can't go back, baby. I can't go back.
Yeah, you
nope.
can't go back. So, you look at him on TV. I mean, Brian looks like he's anorexic.
So, wait, Brian.
And I mean that as a compliment. So, you look great, BJ. So, you look great, man.
Brian, are you saying that the year before shocked the nation, it was slop the nation? Is that
oh,
what it was?
Just stop
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It was out of breath nation. It was out of breath nation. It was Brett Nation.
That's awesome. Have a great weekend, man. We thank you as always.
You got it, baby. Hook 'em.
See you, buddy.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports. Always great to talk with him.